This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Hot Off the Mess. I'm your host, Samantha Bush, and I'm joined by a long-awaited guest. Like, I've been wanting him on the podcast for a really long time. I'm obsessed with him, obsessed with his takes, obsessed with his Twitter, his Instagram, his overall energy and vibe. Gibson Johns is here, the host of We Should Talk. Hi.
Thank you for having me, Sam. This is a long-awaited moment.
This is a pleasure.
The feeling is so mutual.
I'm so excited. And what a good week to have you on.
We got lucky.
I mean, think of it if it was like last year, Vanderpump.
It would have been crickets. We would have talked about it for 5 minutes, then
and I would have hung up and said, see ya.
Exactly. Bye. Yeah. Good luck next time. Yeah, better luck next time.
Oh my God. So I just kind of want to take your temperature, see
what
you're feeling, get the listeners maybe some insight into like your perspective on things before we really dive in.
Yeah.
So who is like your favorite current housewife?
My favorite current housewife? Mm-hmm. Probably either Karen or Garcelle.
Yeah.
Or I'm trying to think if there's one in Miami that, I mean, Miami is just the full cast. So it's
no, like, I was going to say really, Miami is just.
It's hard to pick a favorite in Miami for me.
And it changes every episode.
Yeah, exactly. Especially on this reunion, I feel like what I thought all season for myself is being threatened by how they're all acting.
They're all acting insane.
Insane.
We'll get to it a little bit later, but like you said, the whole of Miami is just my favorite housewife. They're incredible. I love what Peacock is doing. Are you enjoying Peacock's?
I love the sort of heightened. It's like a little bit more pristine. It's obviously higher production value. And I think that they are like giving them space to be both old school and new school in the way that they're presenting it. And it's just like working extremely well. And I think it sort of took some of the things that worked on that first season of Girls Trip too. And sort of I think some of the things that us fans sort of latched onto and it injected them into a Housewives franchise, which was, it's just heaven.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you are like one of the only sane people on Twitter.
A badge of honor.
You give your takes. You definitely have your point of view and you have your opinions. And I like that you share all of that. But like you also are like very still like grounded on this planet and understand nuance and like, you know, you're not like nasty.
Isn't the bar like on the ground though?
Bar is in hell. Gibson, it's in hell. I don't know if you do this because I certainly do. I just tweet and just throw it out into the universe and I don't think about anything that happens afterwards.
Yeah, I like sort of a little at a certain point there, probably like a year and a half ago, like it's one of the dark times of the pandemic, and like that was when I was sort of leaning into Twitter.
Same.
I had nothing else to do.
But
there was a point there where like my following had reached a certain level where, but I had not mentally caught up to like what that entails and what that brings you. And I was like struggling there. And I was like, how do I, cause I like sharing my opinions. I like engaging in the conversation, but, and I like, you know, and I interview these people too. So I like to put it all out there, but like, I don't think that we're as humans like made to just receive unsolicited negative feedback from people. Like that's based in,
yeah, like
in,
about
in
ourselves.
Nothing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, okay, I said I liked Melissa Gorga and now I'm like a monster.
Now
and
you want Teresa dead.
Exactly. Like yeah. that's what we deal with on there. And like, so I my notifications are like very, I don't see a lot. I refuse to look. Yeah. I don't look. And, the first person I heard say this, you're gonna laugh, is Khloe Kardashian, but she said post and ghost. Like that's what she does, and that's what I do. I post and ghost, and if a reply pops up that's like, again, based in some sort of like actual point of view and reality, then maybe I'll engage with it. But like I also think that for us too, we have our faces attached to all of our profiles and our names. And that's not a shot at anybody who doesn't do that. I totally understand people who don't want to put their faces and names out there, but still engage. Like I love so many fan accounts.
Totally.
It just makes the nature of like what we say. It's a little different. And like, and when you take a shot at me, it feels more personal. And, yeah, like
no, I know
somebody took a shot at me this week, and I'm disengaging from that. I think that's such bullshit. So, that's sort of where I am with Twitter, and I do try to, because I do interview them, so I do think about before I send something out there, like if this happens to get back to the person that it's about, like would I have a problem defending that or like having that conversation with that person themselves? Because even if they're not all tweeting, like they're being sent things, they're scrolling the hashtag. Like, so that's something I try to take into consideration. Sometimes I forget. And then I also don't try to be too negative. Like there's so many other people that are way better at being snarky than I am. And like that's just not my I excel at. You know what I mean? And like I love the snark. It's not for me.
Like you're liking the snark tweets, but you yourself aren't like putting all of that
totally. Yeah. And like the snark comes with the territory, and like it should be there.
Yeah,
exactly. But I don't think that I am built for that, and like what comes back at you when you put it out there.
Well, because you know, I also like you, I kind of started diving more into Twitter during the pandy, and I've always had my name on my Twitter. I've always had my face. Like I didn't think about it. I never thought that my Twitter would grow like or anything. I've just was tweeting. So then, like you said, you don't mentally catch up to where it's at, where your like account is at. And you're like, oh, like this is like now in page six, or like this is now a tweet on the Daily Mail. I'm like, oh, like that's my face. Like that's me. It's very weird. It's a weird life we're living, but it's also really great because it has given us so many opportunities.
100%.
Who has been your favorite person to interview? Like your favorite housewife or like any Bravo celebrity, really?
I think the ones that I've been able to like to interview almost every season of their show, and the ones that have been around, those are the ones that like are the most rewarding to me, because like they engage with me like before you start recording and after you stop recording, and like when I might see them like an event or like BravoCon or some party or whatever,
you have like a little bit of a relationship.
Yeah, and it's not about that for me, but I think that because that is established, like they're willing to like be a little bit more candid with me, or like they're like trust me more. So a lot of the Jersey women are like that. Like I have fun talking to them because it feels a little bit more intimate.
The Jersey women are very open.
Very. And and like I think that there's I said this recently to somebody, but it's like they obviously still have like the sort of they can have sort of the glam factor, the sort of like aspirational nature, but like ultimately to me, like on Jersey, I like the fact that that's not always apparent. And so they're a little bit more attainable. They're a little bit more like not on our level, but like closer to our level, I'd say.
Like they kind of remind you of like a glamorous friend's mom.
Exactly. It's like they still like they might be in like athleisure, but it's like still chic athleisure, or like it's like
yeah,
or like,
it's
or like
still
what
a
they view as
matching
chic.
set.
Yeah, exactly. It's still a matching set. It might be loud colors, but like it's matching.
It's always going to be colorful on
yeah,
Jersey.
exactly. So definitely the Jersey women. I love the summer house people. I think that like again, it's one of those things where when I started doing this, that show was first starting. So and season one of Summer House, nobody gave a fuck about that show.
No one gave a fuck.
And I gave a fuck because I wanted to interview people and get the practice. I liked Bravo. And I was like, like back then, like I was like, I was doing like share house in the Hamptons, like not nice ones, but like I was.
You were living that life.
Yeah. And so like, it felt a little bit like, you know, attainable to me. So I like them because again, like they will tell me, they will like, I don't know, like
they're not as like media trained or something.
No,
like they really just say things.
No, and it's funny because like even though I think one of the conversations right now happening around Summer House is like, oh, like they're all pushing 40 and like they're all like aging out, and like I totally like get that, but like also they're like the Vanderpump people, and that like most of their act, the way that they behave is not gonna reflect their increasing age. Like they're still gonna act young, and like they still know that like their show always has to have this like youthful party vibe. And like, I'm in that phase of my life as well. So I'm here for that.
Yeah. Like I turned 30 this year and I
Me
was
too.
Just like,
last year.
Oh, happy birthday last year.
Yeah. Thank you.
is like, I really thought about it. I really sat down and I was like, am I supposed to feel like an adult? Like, what am I supposed to feel like right now?
I know.
Like, I'm still, like, going to, like, a boozy brunch occasionally. Like, I'm still – especially if you're – I mean, I'm not in New York City, but I feel like if you're in that kind of world or in L.A., like, that is way more common than if you're in, like, Minnesota.
Right. Oh, well, yeah,
know?
I mean, like –
people aren't
yeah.
settling down as young.
No, and I don't want to settle down yet. Like, I'm not –
Right.
I'm not,
you're
I'm
not ready.
Like, I'd like to have – I like the fact that parts of my life are a little bit more, quote-unquote, grown up or, like, put together. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, like, I'm still going out on the weekends and – So anyway, I think that's sort of the through line for me in terms of who I like to come back to, because it's not that hard to put that extra effort into like people who they might be talking to every season. Like, I don't know why they wouldn't do that, but they don't all do that. So,
yeah. Now let's talk Jersey.
Yeah.
Okay. What is your take on, I mean, where to begin?
I know.
What is your take on the whole Frank and Dolores situation? Because I got to tell you, he had me in the first half. And then when Dolores kind of started opening up about like why she's ready to kind of set that boundary, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
Like I love Frank and I'm not on like the hate train of like, why is he still around? Or like, why is
I'm
it like,
any of the Jersey guys, I get why they're there.
Yeah, exactly. No. And I literally interviewed her. My interview with her came out today. And I asked her about that. And I was just like, I don't know. I almost think that he was making, it was sort of like a selfish, he wasn't considering her point of view of like, they've been divorced for however long, but their relationship literally did not change except for the fact that they weren't having sex. Like that's literally, they lived in the same house. Like they were co-parenting these two kids. He was like brothers with her boyfriend that she never even saw. Like he probably saw David more than she did.
He lived with David.
Literally. And like, I understand that she wants to move on. And I think that Dolores over, you know, as the years have gone on, I think that Dolores has sort of like owned her almost like sexuality and like her like independentness as a woman even more. Like she's always been like a very strong willed person, but I think that she's, as her platform has grown and as like her time on Housewives has extended, I think I've noticed that she's kind of owning her life a little bit more, and I'm obviously all for that. And I don't think that she's like, the implication is not that like she's going to be done with Frank or like whatever, but why does their dynamic have to change? Also, I mean, why can't it change?
Right.
And also their kids are in their 20s now. Like it's not going to be the same.
Their kids are full blown adults.
Right.
And Frank, you don't need to just be walking into Dolores's house. You know, he also has a girlfriend. And
that's another element of it that I was confused by.
I'm very confused. If I was her, I wouldn't love that. I wouldn't love that my boyfriend is like, getting teary-eyed that he can't spend time with his ex-wife. I would be like, can you fucking not?
There's something about like a straight man longing for the good old days. Like, even if it's like kind of, even if it's like as sort of innocent as just like wanting his family to be as they are, like there's something about that that I just like reject, you know? And I just, it's not, I'm like, dude, like get over it. The times are changing. You know what I
Well,
mean?
also, it's like, Frank,
Yeah.
you were cheating on her. She claims that it was like a volatile relationship at times. Like, it wasn't this like white picket fence, you know?
No.
Like, it was a very intense relationship for such a long time that Dolores really held the family together. And now that her kids are grown up, like, she has every right to be like, I'm gonna go spend time with my boyfriend. And I like that Polly is kind of forcing her to set that boundary. And he's
100%.
like, no. It's almost like Luke with Ashley and Michael Darby, like how he was like, no, this is actually a really weird situation you have going on. Like, this isn't normal or healthy, except for like
She
Ashley's
needed
kids
fresh
are
eyes.
babies.
Yeah,
Yeah, she needed
she needed
someone to
fresh
come
eyes on the
in.
situation. Yep.
Yes. And
And not even
Polly,
just
I
fresh
mean,
eyes on that, but he's never even seen Housewives. He didn't even like know what Housewives was, apparently. So like he's like totally not in it for that. And yeah, no, I
Listen.
that's a good comparison.
His accent, I can't make heads or tails. I don't know what the fuck
No,
he's saying.
it's it boggles
It's
my mind.
so crazy.
It
It's
kind
like
of goes in and out a
Dorit.
little bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like Jersey and then it's really Irish. And then there's like subtitles. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. It just like, he's such a character and he's just like an Irish version of Frank to me.
Literally.
Like, he's still red. He's huge. Like, he's such a Frank type of person. Like, she
When they
clearly has
had
a
him in
type.
like when they had him in that like Party City Irish like
Irish
bartender thing for the
vest.
calendar, yeah, whatever that fucking thing was, I was
I
like
was
losing
screaming. I was loving it. And then the kick that they got out of putting Frank in that bunny outfit with the tail, like, it was really getting me good. I
yeah,
was
that was
laughing so
fun. I
hard.
like almost ordered it. I kind of wish the
I
episode,
kind
I
of
wish the
wish I
calendar was
did.
for 2024, because I'm like, it's we're already like three months into
I know.
2023. Like, am I gonna order this calendar? I don't know, but
I know. And we're
yeah.
almost in April. So, you know, Frank's page will be flipped, will be turned soon. So it's like,
Yeah.
what's the point? Because
And
I
I
don't want
think
to see
that,
Louie
oh, I don't,
in the
please.
cowl.
I don't want to hang that in my
Ooh.
apartment.
What
Next
are your thoughts
question.
on Louie? I value your
I
opinion, so
thought,
I'm curious.
yes, I thought that
Okay.
Gia saying to the producer that the last time it was normal between our families was before Louis. Those are her words. And then she says, but I don't know what changed. And it's like,
You
aren't,
just
didn't you
said.
just ask to answer your own question? And I up until like a couple weeks ago, honestly, I was like, I like was fully on the Louis train. I was inside that love bubble with them. Like, I was like, you know what? Like, he seems like he's kind of like an off dude, but like, she's really happy. He's good for her. He has his whole family. Like, they have a nice, all this stuff.
I was in the same boat,
And then he
yeah.
went on Watch What Happens Live and he told us that his new company was lead
No.
generation. And he was so avoidant about it. And I was just like, and I saw her sort of also sort of step
Like,
in to like try to explain and
yeah.
like you know shush it away. Something about that like raised so many antennas on my
I
body, and I
know.
was just like, I don't know. Now I and then Gia's saying that, and I was like, maybe he is the one driving the wedge, and there is an agenda at play. That's sort of my,
Yeah.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but that's sort of my, that's sort of, I'm on
That's
board with
kind of,
that.
yeah, I'm going to be keeping a closer eye on it now because,
Yes.
like you said, in the beginning of the season, I was like, you know what? They seem so happy. He's got sisters, his parents come over, his mom's a therapist. Like, Teresa's apparently in therapy. Like, what? Like, let's just let her be happy. And then, like you said, they go to Watch What Happens Live, and even and Andy, I feel, is so protective of her. And because, like, when she brought up, you know, I'm not going to sign a prenup, he was like, whoa,
Right.
like, what are you talking about? You absolutely need one because let's all remember what you just went through. And then when Louis couldn't, if I feel if you can't give a straight answer of what your job is, something is wrong.
100%. I'm with you.
So, and I mean, I've said it on this podcast before, like if I'm talking to like an older person and I try to explain what I do, like I'm a podcaster and I talk about reality television, they look at me like I'm a fucking idiot.
Of
But
course,
like
but it
they're
still
not
makes
worried I'm
sense.
like committing like fraud.
Right.
Like they're not
Right.
concerned I'm going to jail, you
Right.
know?
Like
So
I don't have like when somebody tells me like for example they work in finance like and they try to like explain like which part of finance I'm like dude I don't know what the fuck you're talking about
No, I know.
but it like sounds legit you know what I mean like when he brought up what he was doing I was like first of all the term lead generation we know it, we
We're
associate it with
triggered.
a criminal and he couldn't explain it and he was like it's media but what kind of media is like advertising no, he was like weirdly Ebby
Weird. And
pulled out of him.
she was like totally trying to like make it better and smooth it over. That was really strange, and I'll never
Yeah.
forget it because I've
Never.
got my eyes on Louis for sure, and
Yeah.
Louis Jr. Him and Melania pose very close together, and I'm just gonna throw that out there.
Okay. Listen.
Not accusing anyone of anything, but the body language, I don't know about that.
I'm gonna be searching Instagram after this.
Yeah,
Thank you.
it's interesting. Anyway, Jen and Bill.
Yes.
I got in a lot of shit on Twitter the other day because I compared Jen and Bill to Shannon and David. And the only reason I'm saying this is because David and Bill both had affairs. Shannon and Jen both want to make it work with their family. They both wanted to make it work with their families. And they seem so checked out. When Jen was sitting there saying, like, I look at the cameras and see your car is home and I don't even know you're home. You go right to the pool house. You don't come in till after we eat dinner. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? That is crazy. That is so nuts to me. And people were defending it like, oh, well, Jen's nuts. Like excuse me, sorry. She just wants someone to like agree with her all the time. And I'm like, no. Like she just wants to know when her husband's home
Or he's home and he's not even coming to say hi.
to the kids.
It's one thing if somebody comes home, has more work to do, checks in, you know, hugs the wife, kisses the kids, and then goes back to the pool house and whatever his man cave, whatever it is. But what's interesting with Bill for me is like he was so different the first season. He was like not into the idea of the show. He was so reserved. He didn't like her, like. I feel like he like, didn't even like her like really like drinking or getting drunk on camera and like honestly as a couple they have sort of every single season they've gotten a little bit more like loose and like he obviously gets wasted on camera now at least once a season and like his approach to the show has changed but he still has this like really intense guard up and in that moment where she brings up that he shows up to the house on and she sees him on the Ring camera and that's the only way she sees him he didn't even really defend it he like didn't really defend himself either you know
He
what I mean
also
like he
didn't
didn't
argue it.
that's what I'm saying so it's like he there's like a lack of like emotional reaction and you don't have to be an emotional person but like that's a slippery slope to not defend your kind of contribution to the relationship.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And to not even be like, you're right. Like, I shouldn't be
Yeah.
doing that. I should be making an
Right.
effort. Instead, he just sits there silently. And that's always kind of been their problem. Even last year's reunion, she was like, will you say something? Like, defend me. Like, say, you know, I mean, you know who you would never catch acting like this? I'm just going to throw it out here. Chris Lorita. He would never. He blindly defended his wife when she was acting like a fucking
For
maniac,
years.
but then behind closed doors was like, babe, that was kind of nuts. Like, you were going insane. You can't act like that. But with Bill, it's like this weird, Like, he just is completely
He's like
shut
apathetic.
off.
Yeah, he's
Yeah,
like
like
apathetic to the whole thing.
he kind
Yeah.
of doesn't care. And that's probably really frustrating. And I wish that he gave her a little bit more grace with the idea that, like, she did just move on after the affair. I think in their culture, like, it's a huge, and she kind of talked about it last season, there's so much shame around it to the woman. Because it's like, well, what did you do that caused your husband to do this?
To be unhappy and to push him
and
away.
And now it's
right.
like, you're pregnant. She was pregnant. Like, and I can't imagine that. And then they had another baby after that. Like, they had little baby Olivia, who I'm obsessed
our
with.
Our queen, Olivia. Queen.
I'm obsessed
Literally.
With
like,
Olivia.
I walk to the ground she walks on. Like, she's beyond. Team Steeler.
She's a star. A star. And not in the way Melania was when she was little. Because when Melania was a little kid, I was like terrified of her. She was like,
she was like more unhinged,
little,
right? Exactly.
More unhinged, like more mean. Yeah. This little Olivia is like so cute and fun and like silly and
she's
like
so
really
sweet.
And so I just feel like, and Jen and Bill's story isn't unfamiliar on Housewives, I don't think. Like, she comes in, she's very traditional. She has this very traditional marriage, traditional life. And I think she is getting a lot of independence from the show, similar to Dolores, and is now kind of like, I am your equal. Like, even without
treat
the show,
like
treat me like that. Like, the thing I love, you know, I've been deep in a rewatch of Orange County for like months now. Heather and Terry had a really good balance with that. Like, she was the quote stay-at-home mom and he was the doctor. But he always still like respected Heather.
Totally.
He still respected everything that she did and held the family together. And it's like, Bill just doesn't, he does not respect her.
I think it's this thing that one of my biggest frustrations about Jersey as a franchise is that there's always been this old school mentality of the gender roles in a relationship and like being, you know, we've seen people say they're, people are responsible for their husband's actions or yada, yada, yada. Like it's reared its head like a lot of times over the years.
And even Melissa and Joe.
Even Melissa and
Joe.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think like, it's just so not the culture that I know or want to like.
It's not a culture I want to know. Yeah.
No, it's not. And like, it's almost like they have to play catch up to addressing that because otherwise like, she's going to continue to gain this momentum and this power. And if he doesn't take that seriously, or if he's always going to view, you know, her success as sort of like superfluous and like not as serious as his, then like, that's not beneficial for them. And it scares me. Cause I ultimately like, he can be fun. Like there are good sides.
There's
to
a likable quality
like,
about him.
100%, especially when he's drunk. But
yeah. Cause even him at times he's like stood up to Joe Gorga, who was maybe being a little misogynistic. Like even Bill kind of like said, okay,
totally.
Well, no, like my wife doesn't have to do this or whatever. I feel like Joe made a comment about like, how often does like your wife like sleep with you or something like that. But what I want from Jennifer is for her to be a little bit more vulnerable when it comes to being with Margaret. I feel like Margaret really wants Jennifer to be more honest about her marriage and all of that with the group. Because everything Margaret has said about Jennifer, like, has been true. Like, your husband sleeps in the pool house. Your husband had an affair. It's like, but you're walking around saying, I have a perfect life. And you don't. No one does.
Yeah. Yeah, Margaret's not a liar. Yeah.
Yeah, Margaret's not going to lie about anything.
She'll sort of weaponize a piece of information, but yeah. she's not going to make it up. You know what I mean?
Right. It's like a Tamara Judge. Like, she's not making it up.
That.
She's just... telling
she's bringing it up exactly
she's a messenger of truth.
but I think with Jennifer I also, as she gets more of his power and like more like self-assured and you know, breaks out of that traditional mold, I think that what she, because she has such like a fiery nature to her and that's so natural to her, it's almost similar to like Candace on Potomac, where like she has to sort of learn to control that and to like use it at the right time.
Use her powers for good.
Not even just for good, but also like when you're so when your reactions are so over the top, like every single time, mm-hmm. it's hard, I think, for the other women to like take it all seriously a lot of the time.
Yeah. That's
and I think
true.
That like something that Candace was able to do, like on her journey on Housewives, is like she went from like sort of being the same way of just like throwing the first, like most
throwing knives.
Literally throwing butter knives, but also like some of the meanest like insults that she probably could think of.
Yeah.
And that she still can do that sometimes, but she does it a lot less and it's a lot more controlled. And I think that Jennifer can learn from that arc as well.
That's a really great point. Like a really good connecting of the dots. Wow. Oh my God. You're so smart. How do you feel about the newbie girls, Danielle and Rachel?
I like all three of them for different
reasons. Jennifer Fessler.
Yeah. I like all three of them for different reasons. I think Jen Fessler is a great friend. I think that she, mm-hmm. I like her dry humor. I think that she's had a couple moments that like are clearly trying a little bit too hard, but like mm-hmm. ultimately I like the effort and mm-hmm. I like
when we have friends of on Jersey.
Yes. And same. And I like that she checked Margaret. I like that she's not like a yes person. You mm-hmm. know, she's telling Margaret like, don't act this way, whatever.
Yeah.
Like I liked that.
Yeah.
Rachel, I'm not like totally sold on her yet, but I think that she's like a solid presence, and like if she can like really kind of embrace the role a little bit more, mm-hmm. I'm like into what she's giving. Mm-hmm. But the one that's really taking it obviously is Danielle. Like I think that she's
obviously
like she's just like such a natural star, and like it's not put on at all. And from what I can observe, like I'm obsessed.
She's always been like that. Like, even if you look at her true life, I'm a Staten Island girl. She was like this. She was always
like this.
Did
you watch the full episode?
I did when it was on, but I haven't in a long time.
Okay. I think we need to like maybe do a rewatch.
Yeah. Cause it's the clips that I've seen on Twitter and stuff. I'm like, okay, I'm kind of obsessed with her. And I wasn't so sure about her when I heard she was going to be a housewife. Cause I looked at her Instagram and I was like, oh no, like, here we go. Like the influencers are coming in to Housewives.
Yeah, totally.
But she's so bad at being an influencer and so good at being a housewife.
I'm so confused by those videos. I'm so confused by those videos.
What the fuck is she doing?
I don't understand.
And that's the thing. I'm like, your brother had every right to make fun of you, because if I was acting like that and I had a brother, he would probably be like, you are embarrassing the family. Like, you fucking stop. So I feel like something else had to have happened.
Yeah, there was a shift. Yeah, there was definitely like
it doesn't.
And also, it's also the way that it's presented is like just eerily similar to what's going on with Teresa, Melissa, and Joe. And
it's
like
identical.
And that to me is like, okay, that you're right. There is an extra element here that we're not being told, because I think they want, or she at least wants, sort of the mirror image almost. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. And I think the one thing that Danielle is going to have to be careful with is like, she has to, she's clearly going to be on Teresa's side of things, and she's mm-hmm. clearly going to like defend Teresa, but she just has to be careful about like doing that to a fault and making sure that she still has connections to other women on the cast, I think.
Don't, and like, not just isolate herself.
Yeah, and not just like a Teresa soldier. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Teresa like needs some defenders, but like you have to be able to like not be as like blindly loyal, you know?
Yeah, like Dolores, I think, did a really good job of that.
Yes, she always does a good
role.
Job of that.
Yeah. Yeah, Dolores is just...
she's like,
I'm obsessed with her. I want to
be
so
her.
Much.
Yeah.
She's so stunning.
And just like how like steadfast she is, like it's just, that's so... I think it's so admirable. Like, I just...
And like, when I saw her in real life at BravoCon, like, shook my breath away.
No, she's stunning.
I was like... and she just like doesn't give a fuck. Like, she is so... the New Jersey girls, I think, are the most like rooted in reality still.
Yes.
Like,
I think
their
so too.
Instagrams aren't as like put on. Besides Danielle, but she's like always been kind of crazy like that. They're like still going to like cheer competitions and like going to baseball games. Like, they just are so chill. And like you said, they're like in glam, but it's not really glam. It's like, I don't know. I just love them. And like, I love this little charity baseball game.
I love the charity baseball game. I think it's a I think it's a nice new staple event for us to have on this franchise. Like, I think that that's something that Jersey sort of, I think some of the other franchises have things you can always like depend on. And like, we can depend on the trips down the shore and like things like that. But like having another thing to like look forward to is nice on Jersey.
Yeah, and it doesn't take up a lot of time. It's like quick, it's fast paced. Drama ensues. Like when Rachel. Okay, I'm dying to know your thoughts on this. When Rachel brought up to Jennifer what Olivia said, how she wants to be a couple therapist, when she goes, I want to be a therapist for couples. Love. I was like,
Love.
I was like, I'm obsessed with this little girl. She's honestly, so cute. And Jennifer was like really sad about that. And a part of me like understands why she was sad, because it's probably has a lot to do with her and Bill. Mm-hmm. But like at the same time, it's like, I don't want her to feel sad about that. Her daughter like wants to care for people and help people. And
yeah, it's I'm curious, because isn't that also like sort of the catalyst for why they like went back to therapy too? To like,
yeah, I loved their therapist.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that was like an interesting moment, because I almost expected Jennifer to like get mad at Rachel for some reason. I don't know why.
Me too. No, I did too.
I thought she was gonna be like, why are you talking to my daughter? Like, or like something along those lines.
Yeah.
And like, that was so, the reaction was very unexpected. And I agree. She shouldn't necessarily discourage that. I think it's like it's an admirable, like cute thing that she wants to do that.
But there was a layer of sadness there.
Oh, there's definitely a layer of sadness there. And instead of, it's almost like, I don't know. That was a weird moment.
It was really weird. And like, she brought that up in therapy, and even the therapist like was like, oh.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where you almost like, also another like thought that I had for like a second was like, oh, did she like tell Olivia to like tell somebody that she wants to be a love therapist so that she can like go back to therapy?
Right. Like as a reason.
That's sort of like another thought that went through my head. I don't think she did that, but.
But you got to keep your wits about you with these shows, Gibson. Like, you just never know. I wouldn't put it past them.
I know. That was all. That could have gone three different directions.
Do you think Melissa is going to be gone next year? Like, do you think they're like phasing her out? Or do you think she's like kind of slowly taking a step back?
What clues do you think are showing that? I'm curious.
I feel like we're not getting a lot of Melissa. I feel like she's really fucking exhausted by this Teresa relationship. Yeah. Like, I just feel like she's really, I think in the last few seasons she's really been done with it, and she's been also sick of taking the brunt of her husband Joe and Teresa's relationship. And I feel like because I don't know how this show can move forward next season with the two of them if they're still like not talking.
I think
I don't think Teresa's ever gonna go anywhere.
Yeah, it's hard, because I think if you're thinking about it from like a storytelling perspective, there is no better out for Teresa to have. She has her fairy tale wedding, she's marrying into this, she has a new family to be a part of. She has, you know, like that's sort of like, that's what Cynthia Bailey's send off was, you know, like that's a natural way to like evolve away from the show. I agree. I don't think she wants to do that. I don't think she is going to do that. And I don't think she should do that.
I think there will be like an uproar.
Yeah. I don't think she should do that. I just think when you think strictly from like a like natural evolution perspective. And I think you're right. I think Melissa, like you're right. They haven't shown as much of her this season, and she's definitely exhausted by it. And I think that she's unfairly blamed for so much, and you know, she gets the same accusations every single year of being inauthentic. Every scene is about Teresa, yada yada yada, like no storyline. But it's like, Teresa and Melissa individually and together are such valuable like assets for Bravo. Like, I agree, they're like huge moneymakers. They're huge stars individually. People feel passionately about both of them, you know, and they have for a long time. They probably both get paid a lot of money. And I agree. I can't imagine them continuing in the same stream, but I also can't imagine Bravo letting them go. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's a similar thing happening almost on Summer House, where it's like, these people have become valuable stars to them with where people are invested in them. But what happens? Does everyone get a Kim Zolciak spinoff? You know what I mean?
Yeah, Don't Be Tardy?
But those shows aren't compelling. You know what I mean? Like, those shows
no one watches them.
No, so it's sort of, I don't know what the answer is. I really don't. And I don't think they can coexist. I don't think they've been in the same room since, like, Watch What Happens Live at BravoCon.
Oh yeah, BravoCon. Well, BravoCon, the panels had to be split.
Right. But like they were on that same stage for a little bit, but like totally separated. So I don't know. I
guess we'll see at the reunion.
And I know that like Andy loves it, Melissa. You know, I like Bravo, because she's also down to like market the hell out of the show. She's down to like they're both down to like do the commercials and whatever. And they're losing something valuable if they let one of them go.
I totally agree. I don't know where it goes from here, but I'm excited for whenever we get the reunion. I think that will be really compelling.
I'm almost scared for the reunion.
Oh, I'm terrified.
Yeah.
I think Melissa's going to come with a lot of receipts.
I think so
too.
I mean,
when she brought up, I think she was on Bravo by Betches podcast with Dylan Hafer, mentioned it all. She was like, isn't it convenient that there was like a drawing, like a sketch of this alleged like table seating arrangement for an engagement party from a party planner?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, so true, but you know, so true, fans.
So true. And what's interesting, it's like we talked about earlier about Twitter and how we approach it. Like mm-hmm. Melissa doesn't really tweet, but after almost every single episode, she's liking tweets.
I love that.
And she likes very telling ones, I would say. So I've like been going.
I gotta keep an eye out. Yeah.
I've been going to her likes because she'll like some of mine because I'm mostly on her side of things.
Yeah. Just, you sway more Melissa.
Yeah, I really do. And I kind of like, I'm like, oh, like I gotta check her likes. And
yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I love that. Yeah. Well, let's talk Vanderpump Rules.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gibson, where were you the moment you found out about the scandal?
The moment I found out, I was playing pickleball in Florida on a friend's 30th birthday trip. And thankfully, like everyone I was with watches Bravo. And so one of my friends was like, TMZ, like, and like, reads the headline, Sandoval cheating on Ariana with Raquel, whatever, whatever. And like, the rest of the weekend was just, the birthday weekend was about Vanderpump Rules. Like
Scandoval birthday party.
Literally, we started watching, we watched the last three episodes of season two. We watched, like, every update was coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was surrounded by good company. Where were you?
Good for you. I was about to lay my head down for a nap, a midday nap.
Oh, that nap and didn't happen, did it?
No, it sure didn't. I shot right up. My roommate called me. She was like, you need to check your phone right now, and then hangs up. I checked my phone. I was like, when I first read it, I thought, oh my God, like, are they getting Schwartz and Sandoval confused? Like, maybe they just made out once. Like, what the fuck is happening? And then James posted, and I was like, my eyes bugged out of my head. I couldn't believe my eyes.
We always say like there's those days, you know, that you'll never forget when you're a Bravo fan, but like this was like extra like that. This was different. This was
very
the details
different.
Were coming, because the details and the posts and the comments were all coming in like every 30 minutes, and it was
from people
because they know how to feed
clown emojis. They're professionals.
They know how to feed the beast. Yeah, they know how to feed the beast, you know?
And we've been eating.
Oh, we've been.
Stop.
I'm full. I'm gorging.
So Andy Cohen this week said, you know, this episode this week was not re-edited. Keep an eye out for things, blah, blah, blah. Gibson, I've never been so intensely watching an episode of television in my entire life. Like,
I could tell from your tweets, you were sat down for this. Like, it was giving
like
100%, and you were analyzing.
I was like, what's going on here? But I did have to laugh, because at a certain point, people were before the episode aired, they were like, keep an eye out, keep a close eye. And I'm like, no, it's like pretty straightforward what's happening. They're quite literally being like, Raquel,
it was
like,
in our
fuck
face.
People's boyfriends. Like, that is something they said. So I need all of your thoughts on this week's episode.
Yeah. I just read Brian Moylan's Vulture recap, which really good job of sort of like, because I knew it would feel some sort of way of like, you have to analyze the show on two levels now. It's like, mm-hmm. what's happening within the, what would have happened with if none of this was happening, and then what is happening and how you look at it now that the scandal
right. Yes.
And so like, and it's really crazy, because the opinion that we would have had on what's happening on the show right now is the complete opposite of what it is now. Like, it's because it happened, because we know.
I know.
Because she was being ganged up on. She was having a panic attack. She said something regrettable when she was drunk.
Girl,
exactly.
Lala was coming on strong.
Like, it was all these things. But sorry, I don't feel bad for her.
I know.
I don't feel bad for her.
I would catch myself. Like, I would be like, mm-hmm. oh, like, this poor girl. Like, because Lala, when Lala and Katie, and especially my queen, ice queen, Christina Kelly, I'm obsessed with her. She's a triple Virgo, which explains so much about her personality.
What an unexpected delight she's been.
A delight. Yeah. We'll get to Charlie, because she was also a delight.
Okay.
For a different reason. She was absolutely crazy. I love her so much. I love her as like a peripheral, like, side character. Like,
just, I think so too.
Kind of just like randomly like throwing jabs at people. I'm like, ooh, like, wasn't expecting that. Like, I caught a stray. Like, that's how I felt. But watching them and Raquel's clearly wasted. Like, so drunk. She's eating the chicken on the Barefoot Dreams blanket in the hotel room. You know, then she makes the comment.
Not
like,
Barefoot Dreams.
Yeah. She's like, looks at Lala and is like, well, thank God, like, you don't have a van to, like, steal. I was, like, gagged. I was like, whoa.
I have a question. When she said that, so my read on it was that, which was like, thank God you don't have a man so that, like, I don't take him, basically. Mm-hmm. But in Brian Mullen's recap, he said that he read it just more as like her and her shading her for like just not having a man. Like, and it just came out that way. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
Like, and I read it initially
like that, like how I said it.
Yeah. But like, I don't know what the truth is. I don't know. But like,
yeah, we don't know the truth.
But I'm choosing to believe the first way because I think it fits our narrative a little bit better.
Yeah. It fits. It's kind of like when Bethany looked at Dorinda and was like, you're drunk. And it was like, are you drunk or like you're a drunk? Like, exactly. No one could really tell. Mm. So that's kind of what this is, but like on a more like larger level.
And a direct, and then, like, a pretty Raquel, like, yeah.
Pretty direct. Yeah. It's pretty direct. It was just really up to us to interpret. But then she goes to her room. She throws on her Northern Lights galaxy globe.
I was shook by that. That happened in like two minutes too. Seconds. She like.
She ran and plugged it in and was dancing around twirling. I was obsessed.
You know, it was so funny though when she comes back and she's like, she had the lights on and she had the music playing. And Lala goes, Taylor Swift. Just assumed it was Taylor Swift music.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it like made me laugh.
Not wrong.
No, I know, but it just made me laugh so much. I thought that was such a funny throwaway moment.
It's so, these people are just so fucking good at this show. Even Christina Kelly, who's been on a handful of times, when she is on, she has such a presence. And, you know, I felt sad for Raquel, like, overhearing these three girls, like, talking about her, making fun of her. Like, I felt sorry for her. And then I remembered that she had a 7-month-long affair with her really good friend's boyfriend. And I quickly was like, okay, obviously she's not a good person and I don't need to feel bad for her. Then we get in the car and she's having a panic attack and she's talking about James. She starts talking about this escape plan that she had. She was like, I was going to leave and I was going to pack all my stuff and I was going to get out of there. And I was like, red flag. Something
escaping in the middle of the night. It's dark.
It's so dark. I'm not going to talk too much about that, but I do think that we should all kind of take a note, recognize that, take that for what you will. Then she starts having like a panic attack and people on Twitter are crazy. They're like, she was pretending, like she was faking.
Oh, please.
No, I think that was real. What was the catalyst of that was probably she's in a car with three girls who fucking hate her, who were talking about her the night before. She probably has anxiety from being so hungover.
100%.
Like, I don't think it had anything to do with Tom Sandoval in the moment.
I don't think so either. I think it was literally, I mean, I felt that way of like, what the fuck did I do last night? What did you said something that pissed people off.
Right.
That's a very relatable feeling. Like, I've never personally had a panic attack like that, but like that to me, she's not that good of an actress. You know what I mean?
No, and if she is a booker. immediately.
But also remember we saw the moment with her and Peter on that date where she sort of broke down, and like to me that felt like a little bit more
she's
put on,
cried every
I would
episode.
Say. Right, but like though, but some of the cries, there's a diff. This cry was different.
This was like
guttural. Yeah, exactly.
And Chris, I thought how the girls like really bandied around her and like were trying to calm her down was like so sweet and really really nice. And I was like, okay. And then you know, again, you remember that she was having a 7-month-long affair with her friend's boyfriend in their house. Wearing disguises and lightning bolts, and you're like, okay, like snap out of it, bitch. Mm-mm. Then Charlie comes on the trip, and Charlie hates Christina Kelly, and I need to know
why. Does
why.
She hate her? Why? No, I need to why? Know why. And it was immediate right away.
It was immediate right away. She made fun of her lip balm right away. She was like, I don't know why the fuck lip balm bitch is here. I'm like, what?
I need to know. I hope it's kind of a lob up for us for like I think it's like a kind of preparing us for more maybe from that.
I hope so too, because it seemed way random to me.
Yeah, I think we're getting more of that in terms of like just good. Following up and explaining. If not, I'm just gonna tweet Charlie because the stakes are low and I want
to know. Girl, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then like the dinner. So to me, the dinner,
yeah,
I found to be fascinating. I never wanted this dinner to end because it was just like there was so much happening, because like you said, we're watching it in straight men could never do what we do. Okay,
ever.
Can I just fucking
ever.
Say this, we're
our
like
minds.
Talking about our minds, we have to sit here and be like, okay, so we have to think about it in this context, but then we also have to think about it in this context. Like
I believe in the corporate world, they call it parallel pathing, and we're sort of, you know, there's two things happening at once, and I agree that we're dividing our brains in two right now, and we're doing it for the rest of the season.
I'm exhausted. I'm so tired.
Today drained me, to quote Marlo.
Today drained me. But Lala is like, I would never trust you around my man. First of all, whenever Lala starts talking like that,
I know.
Justin, if a human being ever talked to me the way that Lala talked to Raquel, or how she's talked to Ariana in the past, how she kind of like puffs her chest up, acts all tough, I would literally start laughing. Like, it makes me so embarrassed for her, because it's like so all bark and no bite, and I'm just like, why are you talking like that? Why are you acting
this? I like Lala a lot, but I think
I do too.
She gets like, she just gets so carried away with it. And I think that she, as good of like a reality star as she is, I still think that she like needs to learn, like, again, sort of when to create the moment and not always creating the moment. And like, the pop off, the immediate pop off every time, again, just like doesn't.
It's the pop off.
It gets hollow at a certain point.
It does.
And it's condescending as well. It's condescending.
It's so condescending, and it's the pop off, but then the quick like shutdown of it. It's like, I'm allowed to act like this and talk to you like this, but the moment someone starts just simply responding, she's like, we're done. Mm-hmm. We're done. I'm disengaging. I'm like, okay, you need to chill the fuck out.
Right.
Like, you
it's
can't
also like,
do all of that and then not
it's
have
also,
a conversation.
You know, she at that dinner, she was like, essentially, don't call me a mistress, because I cheated with somebody 6 years ago. That's my past. That was before I was sober. I've changed. I've grown. I've become a mother. All of that is totally valid. And I understand that from her perspective. But Raquel, like, just found out about this. You know, like, she just found out. She just
last
told
week.
Raquel last yeah. week that she's that her and James slept together when James was with Raquel. So, like, Raquel is very much in her power to be able to still be processing and coming to terms with that fact. You know what
that,
I mean?
And like, also, there were so many moments probably in her relationship with James where she was like threatened by Lala and told how crazy it was and all of this, but for that to be true. So she's probably like, wait, what the fuck? Like,
her world is rocked. Yeah.
Her world literally was rocked a few days ago. She's allowed to process that. And for Lala to just be like, well, that was 6 years ago. It's like, okay. And also, Lala, you were sleeping with a married guy. Mm-hmm. That did happen. Right. You did go on TV and say you suck dick for Range Rovers. Like, these are things that you have line. Said.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that like the issue is that like Raquel is like not a good enough TV presence star. She's not quick enough to like
voice shaky
to have said any of these things. You know, it's like she just like kind mm-hmm. of she becomes the Bambi eyed bitch, and it's just like, you know, it's mm-hmm. she can't defend herself.
No, and I listen. I don't think it's cool that she asked Schwartz to make out. I don't think it's definitely cool. Not. I think. That was like really shitty. Was it amazing television? Has she maybe revitalized the franchise?
Listen.
Possibly.
Listen. You can't always love the hero, you know?
No, you know, and I do love a villain, but Raquel has kind of taken it to the next level with her situation with Sandoval. And, you know, Katie, I think, handles it all really, really well. And there's moments where I bet she really misses having Stassi like on the show.
100%. I mean, her and Lala are like best friends on the show now, it mm-hmm. seems, but like the Katie Stassi group, like they all used to like hold this information over Lala for so long, and now it's mm-hmm. like once they were off the show, Katie sort of had to bring Lala into the fold.
Yeah. And
you know, I think it's authentic now, but I think it wasn't initially super authentic for them to be really best friends. And I completely agree. She definitely misses Stassi because she's probably texting Stassi about it.
Yeah.
Under the table.
Right. Can you fucking believe what these people are saying?
Exactly.
And then Charlie, you know, was just a good time girl on the trip.
Drinking
she was
her
like,
beer.
Yeah, she was like, Raquel, let's go get drunk. These bitches are fucking crazy and they're so mean. like in the moment, Charlie did, I think, the right thing.
I agree. I agree with you.
But now, I mean, watching back, she's probably like, Jesus.
Yeah, she tweeted something that she's like embarrassed, obviously, like by watching mm-hmm. that. But like, she still stands by being a girl's girl. And I totally, that sentiment, I think, is really valid.
Yeah. And then, you know, they leave because they said they're going to go hang out with Schwartz and Sheena. And
I get leaving, pull yourself out of that situation. That house had dark energy in it. But like, then she has to leave and say, we're going to go hang out with them at the Mondrian. And it's like, mm-hmm. okay, like you just had to put that in there.
You had to do it.
Yeah,
that's like exactly. The part with where Raquel,
after
like,
all that.
Yeah, it's like you're doing this on purpose now. Like, yeah. There's a point where I'm, like, defending her a little bit, and then I'm like, okay, not so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, when Tom Sandoval says, Raquel and Charlie are coming, I screamed. How the fuck do you know that?
Who said that? Literally. Who told you that?
I don't even
know. Who told you that, Tom? Who told you that?
Who told her? Who told him? Raquel.
It's actually
probably like, because this is when it all begins.
He showed
the night
his
that they go
cards.
Out. He did. And then like to leave Ariana so sad at home after her dog died to go to a guy's night. I'm like, you're the fucking worst. Ariana
and Kristen,
is having
Kristen said on Nick Vile's podcast.
The Vile Files.
The Vile Files. That this is when it happened. This is when it started.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Like.
Like around, like right around this time.
I think sickening. Every week we're going to like, it's going to just be more and more and more.
No,
like
it's going to be, it's giving event television. It's giving can't miss.
This is like our Super Bowl every week.
And there's that one shot of Tom where he's like looking across at Raquel.
No, I know, smiling.
And then they like, it's just, it's actually insane to me. Like now I'm getting riled up. It's actually insane they didn't re-edit this. It's the slow shot of him mm-hmm. looking at Raquel and Sheena with conspiring looks in mm-hmm. slow motion. And it is just, and then we cut to black to be continued. And it's like, I'm sorry.
I know.
They couldn't have edited it better, you know?
No, it's perfect. It's perfect. Run them their Emmys now. Like, this is such amazing television, and like, I
It's
Katie, I think, said on Watch What Happens Live last night, like, she's not surprised Tom had an affair, and she's not surprised it was with Raquel. So I'm like, what the fuck else is gonna come out?
There are no words to explain how much I'm looking forward to the post Scandoval footage and confessionals, because that's and the reunion, obviously. But like in those confessionals, they're gonna say, because they've hinted that they saw signs that they kind of ignored, whatever. They're gonna tell us all of that, and they're kind of going scorched earth on this, and like they are not holding anything back, and it's
no.
It gives me the fucking chills. I can't wait.
You have to come back for when.
Oh my God. The first post episode.
Yes.
I wonder how it's going to work. Oh my! I wonder how many episodes it's going to be. I wonder.
I don't know. How many episodes do you think we're getting this season?
I don't know. I feel like they've kind of switched it up on us with Pump Rules. It's been shorter seasons, so maybe we'll go back to normal length. And I really hope they move the reunion taping. This keeps me up at night.
I'm like, I need Raquel face to face with Ariana. Like, that is what I need.
Do you agree with some people who are saying that Sheena should just take one for the team and does not just skip out in the reunion so that Raquel can be there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Even though I love Sheena, I also don't listen, I love Sheena. I think she's a great reality television star. I think her daughter is the cutest little baby on the planet. Those little bangs and the pigtails, adorable.
Mm.
Why the fuck is she so involved with Schwartz getting back out there?
It's weird behavior. It's weird.
It's really, really weird.
I kind of think that she, even though she's like such good friends to Ariana, I think that she, like from like a group perspective with the girls, I think that she feels like she just doesn't have a foothold with them anymore. So she kind of just had to go the opposite way. So like,
yeah.
And she's like, Sheena is very like, savvy, but in a very obvious way, you know. Yes. She doesn't, it's very transparent what she does a lot of the time, which is not a criticism, honestly. I love that about her, but I think that she knew that like it's kind of like a no-go zone with those girls sometimes, and she's kind of over it.
Van in Mexico when she's like, I would rather be gangbanged by all of you guys.
Yeah, she's like scarred. I do think it's really interesting that they literally never show us Brock this season because they know everyone hated him last year.
Oh my God.
He's been on it for like 25 seconds. Like literally.
I know. Even at Schwartz's little party, he was like, I gotta head out of here when the girls get here. I'm like, what's going on with Brock?
That's very wise. That was a very wise decision. Yeah, very
so
wise.
Smart.
He was quickly gonna become the new Jax, and it was not.
Yeah, I'm glad he's taken a step back. I did love him on Watch What Happens Live last year when he had a blowout.
Oh my God. Yeah.
He had like a full on blowout from the dry bar. I was like,
oh my God. Dead.
Okay, Brock.
Okay, Brock.
Well, this was so much fun. Tell everybody where they can find you and listen to you, because they need to know your takes.
Yeah, so I'm Gibbs Onoma on all socials, GIBSONOMA. My podcast is called We Should Talk. You can find it Spotify, Apple Podcasts, 1 to 2 episodes a week, 1 interview per episode, mostly with Bravo people. We just had one come out.
You
with
do a
Dolores
lot of interviews.
Today.
They're really good.
Yeah, it's all interviews. Dolores was today. Gabby from Summerhouse is next week. And then I have a newsletter. All the stuff's in my bio on social media. So just go find me.
Yeah, you are amazing. Thank you so much for doing this.
So are you. This is so much fun. You're the best.
Thank you. And well, you guys.
I feel like we're the two of the same people. Like, yeah, we need each other.
Like, we get it. We see each other, you know? Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye.
A Huda Media Production.